This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict de Mort Parish in the Hill District and also St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. On this Pentecost Sunday, we are spotlighting St. Louis de Marillac School in Upper St. Clair. It was founded back in 1963 with the Felician sisters serving as our first teachers. St. Louis has tried to instill in students a lifelong commitment to learning, Christian values, and also community service. St. Louis de Marillac is one of the largest Catholic elementary schools in the Diocese of Pittsburgh with 553 students in pre-K through eighth grade. It is known for its academic excellence, cutting-edge technology, and also parental involvement, helping each student reach to their fullest potential. Joining us to tell the story of St. Louis de Marillac School is Mr. Ken Clace, who is the longtime principal at St. Louis. Ken, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you very much, Father Tom. It's an honor to be here with you today.
And happy Pentecost Sunday to you and everyone. Now, Ken, this has been a school year like no other, keeping everyone safe and the students learning during the pandemic. About 20% are being taught remotely. How is it going as we come towards the end of the school year?
Believe it or not, it's been going very well. It's kind of the new normal here at St. Louis, and I'm sure at other schools as well. But our teachers are now used to teaching not only to the students that are here in person, but remotely at home. As well. And they're doing it like they were trained to do it for a number of years now. The students, it's synchronous learning. So whatever's going on here at the school, the boys and girls at home are doing the exact same thing in real time. We're a Google Classroom school. So a lot of our assignments can be posted electronically. A lot of our textbooks are electronically as well. So our students, even in preschool through eighth grade, they haven't skipped a beat for those that chose to stay remote at home.
Well, kudos to you and your staff and the other principals and teachers across the diocese for really being flexible, especially during this past school year with the pandemic. Now, Ken, you've been busy with the Iowa testing. Normally, St. Louis students score above the national norms on such exams. What outcomes do you anticipate this year?
We anticipate some of our scores probably being a little lower than normal. And I think we're going to find that across the board in education, in any district that you're in. And what we're going to do is we're going to take those scores and we're going to use them to see what we need to do, what students missed over the last year and a half here, and kind of tailor our education curricula for next year. So we're looking forward to getting those scores and not so much looking at our school in general, how did we do on a whole, but looking at those individual students so that we can close any gaps or even enrich those students that need enriched. We anticipate they're going to be all over the board. We're going to take this summer and the teachers, myself, are going to look at those scores, share them with the parents, and then we'll be able to tell them what we're going to do exactly when we come back to school in August. So kind of looking forward to getting those back.
Absolutely. And I know, obviously, with the pandemic and remote learning and the challenges, you hear that all across the board, both in private and public school systems. Obviously, it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge to the students, the families, and also to the teachers. And that's why you do the testing to see, okay, this is what we have, and you tweak it and you learn as you grow, so to speak.
Right. There was some talk whether we should give them or not. And I think principals across the diocese came to an agreement that we really need them as a benchmark. Right. Right now, you know, we didn't have anything we were going by for this year and a half. So it's a good benchmark. It's going to be a good starting point for next year.
Absolutely. Now, Ken, when it comes to the academic achievement, how do you make sure that no student falls behind, or the opposite, that students are challenged enough? Because that could be tricky.
It can be. We have a luxury here. I have a part-time academic support person that I've hired. So not only myself, but I have a part-time curriculum director as well. So a principal wears many hats, but to do things well, you need to have the right people in those positions. And I think that's why we do so very well here. Because although I still wear many hats, I look for support with people that have expertise in those fields. So with my academic support person, with the teachers giving different types of benchmark testing, we do Acadience, which is a Dibbles testing for reading and for math. Again, it gives us a benchmark so children do not fall through the cracks, so that we can give accommodations to children that need that. We can also give enrichment. So we do have an enrichment program here for grades 2 through 8 for those children that need a little more than what our regular curriculum offers. And we also have remediation for those students that do need remediation. And it's usually a pull-out program once or twice a week. And the whole goal is to get them back in that classroom full-time, but to give them the tools that they need to be successful in the classroom.
Great. Now, St. Louis de Marillac School has made a significant number of investments in technology in recent years. Why is that, and what have you added, if you can tell our listeners?
Sure. One reason is I think we're in some very good school districts that surround us. And to have the enrollment that we have to keep up with technology that's surrounding in our districts. And I would put our technology in our building up against any school in this area in the South Hills, whether it's public or whether it's public or private. We have webcams in every classroom. We just invested in Aquas boards, which is a digital chalkboard with an onboard computer in every classroom. We have 4 PCs in every classroom. We have a one-to-one initiative that we give Chromebooks to our grades 4 through 8. It's their device to use. They take that home with them as well. But that didn't just happen overnight. We have a strategic plan that we had to come up with for our school so that we could plan for the future. And that's what we're doing now.
That's fantastic. And obviously, technology changes daily and weekly, monthly. You have to keep up with it, and it's just an ongoing thing. And I'm sure that's always a challenge. But it sounds like St. Louis is at the forefront of that, and that's good that you're doing the investments of it, because it's an investment.
It is. I see probably every 3 to 4 years there's a turnaround in either renewing or replacing the technology that we've had here.
Yeah, good. Now, speaking of new technology, an interesting example of new technology is how you do the morning announcements. Can you tell our listeners about this? This is interesting.
Yeah, normally I think a school listens to either the principal or one of the students give morning announcements over the PA system. We actually broadcast it through, it's called Podcaster, and it's a little news show in the morning. And we usually have a boy or girl newscaster. They start every morning with a morning prayer. They say happy birthday. They do the weather. So they watch this morning broadcast every morning on those Aquas boards that are in every classroom. And it gives a good opportunity for public speaking for boys and girls. They get to learn how to use the technology. They get to learn how to do sound. We actually painted the room green in the one corner, so it's like a true green screen. So they get a real feel for what it's like to to be a news anchor man or woman.
Yeah, using the green room, as they call it, you know, in television and studios, you know.
Absolutely. But it's something they look forward to. And then we post that on our website. So moms and dads, they can watch our live morning announcements from at home or from their office desk.
Now, Catholic identity and faith formation is important at St. Louis School. Each year you focus on a different gospel value. This year was hope, which certainly is appropriate with the COVID-19 pandemic. How do you make these values come alive for students and focusing on hope?
Well, the focus on hope, we kind of focus on a scripture reading from Jeremiah, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for you to prosper, plans not to harm you, plans to give you hope and for a future." And I think we try to instill that in all of our students here at St. Louis, whether there was a pandemic or not. You know, showing that if you work hard and you invest your time and your interest, you can do anything you can if you put your mind to it.
And have you tied that in with what the students and the families have been going through with the shutdown of the school at the end of the school year last year, and then the online, offline type of thing this school year?
I think we have. And I think we've done different things throughout the year showing that we're not staying stagnant. There is hope for a bright light at the end of that tunnel. And, you know, just recently we opened up our playground to the kids to be able to play on. You know, we're slowly changing different protocols, but being safe at the same time, showing that, again, there is hope and not to give up.
Right. And what about the parents? What have you heard from the parents' perspective in focusing on hope for them?
I think they're very supportive. That's kind of what makes our school and every school what it is. It's not just the teachers and the students working, but it's a teacher, parent, and student working together as one family. And I think that's what we look like here at St. Louis. We're one family working toward a common goal.
Absolutely. Hey, as you say, you know, we're all in this together. The faculty, the staff, the students, the parents, the clergy, you know, we're all in this together looking for hope, you know, looking at the light at the end of the tunnel, which is great. We'll take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Benedict de Moore Parish in the Hill District and also St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh. And on this Pentecost Sunday, we are featuring St. Louis de Marillac Catholic School in Upper St. Clair. My guest this morning is the principal, Mr. Ken Clace. Now, Ken, tell us about the community service projects that St. Louis students are involved in.
Every year we do a host of different service projects. Some are in whole school service projects. Others kind of revolve around different classrooms. So they take really things to heart. But one thing that we do is we work with the Felician Sisters at Mooncrest facility. They have a daycare center there. And we provide 45 Thanksgiving meals to families that live in that community. And we provide everything from the stuffing for the turkey to the turkey itself. And then we go a step further and we actually deliver those. So we rent a U-Haul truck, myself and some parents and our student council representatives, bring them and deliver them to the Mooncrest community. We've been doing this now since my 15 years here at St. Louis. And what's really neat is we've got to know the community. We've got to know the people that live there. They know the day that we're coming. They look forward to us coming. And we got to know some of them by name. So it's more than just giving food to needy people, but we've got to know those families and who are desperately in need. And less fortunate than what our families here. And I think that really is an eye opener for our students when we go into those communities and they see the conditions, some people, what they have to live in, and they can't believe that they can't afford A Thanksgiving meal. So I think it really it's an eye opener for them. Absolutely. And then they bring back and they share that experience with the rest of the students here.
And Mooncrest is in Moon Township, and the Felician Sisters' mother house is not too far from there. And correct. The Felician Sisters have been really a pivotal part of that community for many, many years after school programs. And what a wonderful opportunity that St. Louis families have giving them a Thanksgiving dinner. And that's wonderful for the students and the families to experience that, because then it gets them a different perspective than what they're used to living in Upper St. Clair or Bethel Park or Peters Township or the surrounding area. And like you said, it's a wonderful community service oriented, and it's great for the students to learn. And it's not that far away there in Moon Township.
Yeah. Another project, one of our eighth graders kind of spearheaded, and we named it Art for Heart. And what it was they were simply making, they started making cards for some of the manor care facilities that were in the area. And it turned into making cards for area hospitals. And once people heard about it, we had nursing homes. So we made over 50,000 cards for area nursing homes, shut-ins, COVID victims in hospitals. So that was kind of the highlight of our year. Families were making cards at home. So it wasn't just kids doing it in an art class here. It turned into a whole family service project. We were very proud of that.
Wow. Good job on that. Wonderful. Now, you found many students who do well academically are also involved with extracurricular activities. What are some of those more popular activities?
Well, just recently, talking about athletics, our varsity girls and varsity boy basketball teams won the diocesan championship. So we do offer a wider range of sports for boys and girls, from basketball to volleyball, track, cross country, football. We also have some academic extracurriculars. Pennsylvania Junior Academy of Science is world popular here at St. Louis. We have our annual English Festival. Some of our 7th and 8th grade students visit Duquesne University, and they're doing that online this year. So there are certain things that we're not able to do, but there's certain things through the use of technology we can continue to do. So we have a wider range of activities that students can do. And it seems like the students that are involved in those other activities are the ones that are doing very well academically. So I think keeping themselves busy here at St. Louis is the way to go.
Absolutely. Now, you're in the middle of executing a strategic plan, which includes engaging parents. How are they currently involved?
Sure. Our strategic plan focuses on five different areas. The first area is focused on academic excellence. The second one is Catholic identity, safety and security of the building, facilities and financials, and then fundraising and enrollment. We thought those were the five areas that were needed to make our school successful. And all five of those areas are needed to have parental involvement in there. Again, in those five areas, there's parents that have special expertise areas to help us focus and do the best that we can. For instance, safety and security of the building. We have a number of family members that are police officers, and they're on our committees to ensure and take a look at our facility to see what we need to do to improve that. On that topic, I think we're probably the one and only Catholic school in this area that we actually have a resource officer. He is a retired state trooper. His children go to the school here, but we have a armed police officer that's in the building every day. He dresses plain clothes, but he is in the building every day that the children are here. But that's how we involve our parents in the planning, in the strategic plan of the school, focusing and honing in on what their skills are and what their expertise are in their professional fields.
That's fantastic. Now, another part of your strategic plan involves community partnerships, such as your Diamond and Platinum Partners in Education. How does that program work?
what that involves is it falls under our fundraising. And every school has to do fundraising. So what we do is we have focused on area businesses, families that own businesses, and they have become educational partners. So it's a way of fundraising. So for a certain amount of money, we have diamond, platinum, we have gold sponsors. And then we advertise those on in various ways, either on our morning announcements page, on our websites. But it's a way of advertising those businesses, and in turn, they're giving us funds to support our school.
That's good to get the community involved. Now, last question before we go. You have a waiting list for some grades, but for families who may be interested in learning more about St. Louis de Marillac School in Upper St. Clair, how can they contact you?
Sure. They can call me, the principal, Ken Clace. The phone number here at the school is 412-835-0600. Or you can visit our website at stlouisschoolpa.org. I would love to meet any families looking for a great Catholic education, give them a personal tour. I'm in the building all summer, so I'm looking forward to seeing some new families.
That's great. And I know you just have a couple more weeks left of school and eighth grade graduation coming up next week. And this is a good time of the year as you unwind, even though the summer is upon us. But you said you will be there over the summer months. So that's good, though, for interested families who are shopping, so to speak, or inquiring about a school to contact you. Come in and take a tour. Look at the classrooms. Look at the technology, the facilities. Look at the environment, and I'm really familiar with St. Louis de Marillac campus growing up in the South Hills, and Father Steve Krizak, who is my best friend, was parochial vicar there many years ago, and what a fantastic campus there, a big football field in the back, and your location right there, right off of Route 19, and not too far from South Hills Village, right on the border of the Allegheny and Washington County borders. Just a fantastic, beautiful facility and the great education that the students get. So congratulations. So
yeah, thank you. Yeah, we actually pull from 9 different school districts. So, we see a lot of people from the South Hills area.
Great. Mr. Ken Clace, the principal of St. Louis de Marillac, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Father Tom.
We'll be back in a moment here on KDK Radio. All right, Ken, great job. That was awesome. We hit all of our questions.
All right. Well, thank you for the opportunity. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks, okay. Ken.
All right. Bye-bye.
Weekend. Thank you.
All right. You too. Bye-bye. God bless you.
This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring Pentecost Sunday. This is the conclusion of the Easter season in the Catholic Church, and Pentecost is considered the birthday of the Church. In the Gospel of St. John, we read the Last Supper narrative. Jesus promises his disciples that he will send them the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. In the Acts of the Apostles and the Gospel of John, the disciples of Jesus are commissioned to bear the witness to the good news in their preaching, teaching, and healing. And the Christian's job is to bear the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pentecost teaches that the fruit of the Spirit is the final result of the Spirit's cultivation of the soil in our hearts. So on this Pentecost Sunday, we are all receiving the beautiful gifts of the Spirit. We come from different families, different neighborhoods, different cultures, different backgrounds, but the Holy Spirit is the one that draws us together. So on this Pentecost Sunday, let us be joyful and be filled with the Holy Spirit.